We have the Schus Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach to begin Masechta Chulin. The Masechta is the first words of the Masechta will teach us. Starts with the halachas of Shechita, particularly who is the individual who may be a Shechit. The Rambam in the Pirush of Mishnayis gives us an explanation why is Masechta Chulin inside the Kachin. And not only why is Masechta Chulin inside the Kachin, but why is the place specifically where it is placed inside the Kachin. So he says that when we start inside the Kachin, we start Masechta Zvachim, which speaks about karbanos that are brought from an animal. And then it continues with Masechta Menachos, which speaks, as we just finished learning extensively, karban Menachos. And he explains that that's the order in which the Torah places those karbanos. The Torah first speaks about animal carbon, and then the Torah speaks about menachos. The question, of course, is why does we now speak about chulin? So he says, which is not kachim at all. So he says, we look in the pesukim. The pasuk says, "Kim makom sheyivcha Hashem bachet shvatechab sham talo elasech v'sham tasas v'chechab." So the Torah speaks about kachim, and then the Torah continues to teach us rak b'chol. So that's why we now speak about eating meat. The Torah talks about eating any meat that we want to eat, not as a carbon, which is what we're learning now. And then the Torah continues to speak, and that's why we're going to have afterwards a mitzvah shem, mesachta. We're going to have afterwards Masechta B'chayrus. The Shita Mekabetzis says that we still need to understand why when we're learning our Masechta, why does the first Torah not tell us how the Shechita is supposed to be done, and afterwards tell us who may do the Shechita? So he answers, because as we just finished learning Masechta Menachos, and we learned the Echra Mabav, Echra Mabit, that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we discussed quite extensively, is primarily seeking, is for somebody who does it, does whatever he's doing properly. And now, that's when it comes to Kabbanas. But now teaches us the Gemara that that's by when we're shechting Kachim. By Kachim, as we learned so extensively, there's a concept of Pigel, there's a concept of Shloi Lishma. But when we speak about chulin, those rules aren't required. As we're going to learn, for example, the halacha is that somebody who's tamei could shecht. That, of course, is not the halacha by kachim. The Shita Mekabetzis gives another explanation. He says that if somebody's going to come to shecht the carbon, the first thing we have to analyze is who is this individual who could be the one who could shecht. And then we speak about shechting by night and shechting on Shabbos. And after we have the person and the time and the place ready, then we can go into the halachas of Shechita. When we speak about Shechita, of course, the very important question that needs to be discussed is the Torah, as we're going to see in our perek a number of times, says v'zavachta. And from there we learned that there's a halacha that we have to do Shechita. But the question that the Rishonim already debate is, what is the halacha? Is the halacha that in order to eat meat for zavachta, does a mitzvah to say to first shecht the animal? And if it isn't slaughtered, then it has to be slaughtered, a mitzvah to say? Or is it a lav, that one isn't allowed to eat meat that wasn't properly slaughtered? And therefore the question is, are we speaking about a mitzvah to say? As the Smag says, mitzvah say lishchait mishi yeretz alechol. There's a mitzvah to shecht if you want to eat. Opinion of the Rambam, opinion of the Rajba. Or is it a mitzvah loisa say? As the Gemara says many times in our Masechta, behema b'chaya b'cheskes isa imedes. There's an animal while it's still alive is also to be eaten, even menachai. And by doing the shechita, we remove that iser. The Ravid holds that way, and according to the Prima Gaon, that's the opinion of Rashi and the Rivah. The nafkamina between this is that, is there an isser of chatzi shir? There's the din that even if it's less than a kazayis, what would be the halacha? If we say that it's a mitzvah sasei, so you're only obligated to do a mitzvah sasei with a kazayis. If a mitzvah lois sasei, so lois sasei is even on less than a kazayis. The halacha furthermore tells us the Rambam, and Hilchos Shechita Perek Aleph Halacha Beis, Lefika chashech behei mechaya oif, if somebody shechts any living thing, Bevarach tchila, he has to make a bracha, asher kedishona mitzvahs v'tzivonu ala shechita. And so is the halacha in Yerideya Simen Yotes Sif Aleph. So certainly, if we follow the opinion that shechita is a mitzvah saseh, we could understand the psak that the halach that you have to make a bracha, like you do before any mitzvah saseh. But the question that I saw that the Sefer Emek Shaila asks, if we just finish saying that there are opinions that hold that shechita is only taking away a mitzvah lois saseh, so why is there a bracha? So one pshat that he suggests is because since the Torah, when it speaks about this mitzvah, uses the words v'zachalta, v'achalta, which are words that indicate there's a mitzvah to do this. So that's why, even if we'll say it's a mitzvah slice, say, we make a bracha. Another pshat is because since by kabbonis, we learned the kachim mesechtes, that when you shech the carbon, you have to make a bracha. And we're learning in our mesechta today that the halacha by chulin is connected to the halacha by kachim. So therefore, the halacha is that we bring, the halacha is that by chulin we also make a bracha. The Das Sofer has a very nice pshat and why Masechta Chulin belongs in say, the Kachim. He says that it really represents what is the hashkafa of Klal Yisrael. He says that, of course, we know that when somebody brings a carbon, he's doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, he's coming closer to Hashem. But what Masechta Chulin is here to teach us, that even when you're shechting, and the reason you're shechting is because you want to eat meat, not as a carbon, but everything we do is supposed to be l'shem shemayim. Our eating is supposed to be, even our regular meals, are all supposed to be l'shem shemayim. As we learned in Masechta Menachos, Shulchan Shel Adam is doimel mizbeach. The shulchan on the shulchan that we eat on is like a mizbeach, and therefore, just like we could well understand that eating a carbon or bringing a carbon is certainly an act of avodas Hashem, no less than that is the act of eating regular meat also an act of avodas Hashem. There are those that had the minig. It was certainly the minig of the Chassam Sofer and others that they would fast when they began learning Masechta Chulin. Some fasted a half a day. Some fasted, began Masechta Chulin on Shabbos. And they wanted to show that, and the reason for this I saw is because it was common when one learns Masechta Chulin, he's trying to show how a shechita takes place, and the shechita is done obviously on around the neck of a person. Somebody will try to use himself as a model, and therefore, the minig was in certain circles that when they began learning Masechta Chulin, they fasted. Others say that the reason that they fasted when they began learning Masechta Chulin is because the name of our Masechta is sort of difficult to understand. A Masechta has a name called Shechitas Chulin. Chulin is the opposite of what Torah really is. We know that Torah is actually Kodesh. Torah is Kodshim. And in order that one should not make the mistake and believe, Chas V'Sholem, that Torah is anything but full Kedusha, the way we show that if Chas V'Sholem, somebody will come to the wrong conclusion and understanding what is our Masechta all about. Therefore, that we specifically fast to show chas v'sholem, it is not it's not an our intention in chas v'sholem in any way to belittle what we are doing here in learning Masech Techulin. So again, the Masech Techulin Shchaitim, everybody k'shecht v'shchitasam k'sherab, and the shchita is a considered kosher shchita. Chutz misheres, cheres is a deaf mute. Shchita is somebody who halachically considered an individual without das v'katan as a child under bar mitzvah. And the reason why we don't let them shecht is shema yikalka shchitasam. We're concerned that they won't do the shchita properly. In order to make sure that the shchita will be, in order to make sure that the meat is, and we won't be allowed to eat the meat, in order to make sure to do so, the halacha is that we can't allow the shchita. And as we're going to see in the Gemara, this halacha applies even if there are those that are observing the shchita. The reason is, I saw two pshatim. One pshat is because it's so common that they're going to not do the shchita right. Since it's so common they're not going to do the shchita right, we have to be most concerned and not just say, well, we could assume that they'll do it right. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat is similar, that since it's so common that they're going to do the shchita improperly, and therefore the meat will now become not kosher, if that's the case, we will now have a situation about tashchis, that we had a good piece of meat that got ruined because we allowed a person who shouldn't be shechting. And therefore, the halach is that we can't allow them to shecht. Another pshat is, this I think is the pshat of the Ramban, since they're so likely to not do the shechita right, we need to be concerned that even if they do the shechita, and even we're observing it because it's so possible that they're going to not do it properly, we should not just rely that they're going to do the shechita right and not let them shecht. Continues the Mishnah, v'kulin sheshechtu, all of these various individuals, and we'll explain in the Gemara very extensively what this line of the Mishnah means. V'kulin sheshechtu, all situations where somebody shechted, v'chem roin oisoi, and there were others that observed that shechita, the halach is shechitas and kshera. And the simple pshat that the Mishnah is coming to teach us is that even though these people don't necessarily have the proper das in doing the shechita properly, the halacha is that you don't need das to do shechita. Shechita is not the type of activity that needs kavana. All that's necessary for shechita to be done is that the shechita was done properly. And once the shechita was done properly, that is sufficient. Drama in Yerideya, Simon Aleph, Sif Aleph, brings that the minig is that we don't allow somebody to shecht unless he took Kabbalah from a Talmud Chacham. And the Chacham should not give Kabbalah until he's confident that this person is proficient in Hilchos Shechita and knows what he's doing. And therefore he says that anybody who comes to shecht, if he comes with a Kabbalah, we can be confident and be comfortable in allowing him to shecht. However, it continues the halacha to teach us that everybody, that the Ramah says, that anybody who shechts should always be careful, he should constantly review the halacha lefrakim. He should review Hilchos Shechita on a regular basis. There is a question, what does that mean? The Behetiv says that Ramah, when he says that a person should constantly review Hilchos Shechita, means every month. The Baragoyla says that it depends. If you just became a shaychit, and you're not yet so proficient, so there you have to, during the first year, have to review Hilchos Shechita every month. But he says once a person becomes more proficient in Hilchos Shechita, then it's sufficient that he could review them, not necessarily every month. Tosfos quotes, and there's a question, what's the halacha about women doing shechita. So Tosfos, the Ramban, and the Rosh, and the Ran are all of the opinion that women could do shechita, and they say that not only could women do shechita on kachim, but even on chulin, the halach would be that they could do shechita. However, Tosfos quotes the Hilchas Eretz Yisrael that women were not allowed to do shechita. And the Rishash explains, where his explanation is the Minigat Yisrael, the Sefer Hilchas Yisrael says, dat nikalus. So Rishash says dat nikalus means that we're concerned that they will not do, that even if the shechita is not good, they're going to give it to somebody else to eat, even if they won't eat it themselves. Another pshat, which the Smag and the Bach explain, that since, obviously, when you do shechita, there is a lot of blood involved, and they may not be able to watch that blood, and that may affect that the standard of the shechita. The Ran says, what about the halacha is that we can trust a woman for bedikas chametz? Why can we trust them for bedikas chametz, but we can't trust them for shechita? So he says that by bedikas chametz, it's only drabonon. But when we speak about shechita, it's a deraisa. And since when we speak about shechita and it's a deraisa, that's why he says we have to be more careful. The Beis Yosef says that even though the halacha ought to be that women should be allowed to shecht, he says that the minig is that women don't shecht. And then he adds that we know minig mevatel halacha. Once this became a minig, the minig is that we don't have women shecht. And in fact, the Ramah says, Yesh oimrim she'en la'nich noshim lishchot, there are those that suggest that women shouldn't shecht, the kena minig, and that is indeed the minig, she'en noshim shecht, is that we don't allow women to shecht. The Mishnah then spoke about a cherish. So whenever we have a cherish in halacha, it means somebody that's eino shemeya ve'eino medaber. He's not able to speak nor to hear. And Tosfos says that the pasuk says, "Misam pel adam, meyisam ilam acherish," and the pasuk says that the pasuk is teaching us that somebody who's a cherish is a person who can't speak, nor hear. Somebody that was born healthy, and then unfortunately he became a deaf mute. The Tosfos Rosh says that that individual is still considered person's considered a cherish. The Poskim also say a person who could write is still, but he's a deaf mute, is considered a cherish. The Poskim, this already goes back to the time of the Rechayim and the Masham, discuss what would be the halacha about an individual who is a cherish, but with the different schools that they have nowadays, he was taught how to communicate. Will he still be considered a cherish or not? A very big machlokes paiskim. The Sefer Cheshukei Chevet also discuss that there's another consideration. The cherish, and he quotes him Noda Behuda. So why can we let a cherish? Why can we allow a cherish to shecht? He can't make a bracha. And why would that not be an issue? So we see that the bracha is not ma'akiv in the kashrus of the shechita. And therefore, even though this individual is not able to make a bracha, nor hear the bracha, it doesn't change the kashrus of the change the concepts of the shechita. Furthermore, the Cheshukei Chemed, when he discusses, when we said that one of the reasons that a woman doesn't shecht is because we're concerned that the shechita, where all the blood that spilling during the shechita could cause the woman to be squeamish and not shech properly, he discusses what's going to be the halacha, which is unfortunately all too common in Eretz Yisrael, that if somebody shechted, somebody was shechting an animal in Eretz Yisrael, and during the act of shechita, there were bombs falling. Would that affect, he wants to know, the kashrus of the shechita? And he wants to suggest that it might affect the kashrus of the shechita. And he explains that the reason it might affect the kashrus of the shechita is because we're learning here that anything that could take away the concentration of the person who's doing the shechita, that's why we spoke about a woman for making the shechita, proper shechita. Certainly under those circumstances, that could be considered a reason that the shechita would be disqualified. The Mishnah continued to speaking about a shechita. And the question is, who is in the category of a shechita? So the Gemara brings down a number of brises. One place the brisa says, Tana Rabbanan, is a shechita, who is considered a shechita? Hayotzi yechida b'leila, somebody walks out at night by himself, a lumber base of kvaris. He sleeps in a cemetery of a makaris ksusei teresis cloni. Another brisa says, Zama avid kamash noisimloi, that anybody who, if he loses something, that it's given. So the Rosh says, you don't have to have all of these conditions to be considered a shechita. Even one of these conditions would be enough to make him a shechita. However, they do say that it has to be two conditions. It has to be obvious that he's doing this because there's a lack of mental capacity. And furthermore, they say that these four simonim that we gave for being a shechita are not the only simonim. Whenever you see something that a person is doing something which there's a reason to be concerned that what he's doing represents that he's not of sound mind, he's considered a shechita. Regarding somebody who is intoxicated, so the Poskim say there are two categories in being a shikur and being intoxicated. If somebody whose head is still clear, even though he drank, his shechita will be okay. The Rambam says that shechita will be okay. But if he becomes intoxicated where his head is not clear, his shechita is not okay. And the Rambam, when he speaks about this halacha, and Perek Dalet, halacha he says, Chayav shechita v'katan v'shikish nisbal bul daton, sheshach t'shechitasan psula. All of these people, shechitasan apostle, we need to be concerned that the shechita is not good. And therefore we see that they shechted and somebody with a still of sound mind are not possible. However, the Smag, quoting the Bahag, takes a much stricter position, and he says that if somebody is a shikur, certainly if he has that problem on a regular basis, we cannot allow him to shecht. The Mishnah then continues speaking about a katan. So the Ramah paskins, anybody who's not yet a bar mitzvah cannot shecht. The Dakri Moshe ever quotes Dar Zerua, who says that once he's already in the 12th year, he's already fine. But we know the halacha is that as far as being considered a gadol or a katan, you're only considered a gadol not just when you're 13. You also have to bring shtei saris. So there's a question in halacha. When we don't obviously typically examine the boy if he brought shtei saris, what's the halacha? So the halacha is by the rabbanon. We rely on chazaka de rava that he brought the shtei saris. What will be regarding shechita? Says many suggest, the Levush says this, that he's not a bar zvicha. The whole concept of being a shochet is you have to be in the parsha that you only may eat meat if you shechted the meat. If you're chayiv to shechet, to eat meat that you're chayiv. If he's not bar mitzvah, he's technically not required to eat meat that was properly slaughtered. The other, Dovush says, you have to, the other say, the Ashach says, because he has to be bar edus. He has to be an individual who is able to say testimony. And if he's under 13, he's not qualified to say testimony. Certainly if he didn't bring Shtei Saris. However, again, interestingly enough, the Hilchus Eretz Yisrael, who we quoted earlier, who said that women shouldn't shecht, is also of the opinion that a boy should not shecht until he's 18 years old. And the reason they explain is because until 18 years old, he doesn't have the seriousness to know what shechit is all about. Until he's 18 years old, he doesn't know what it means to eat non-kosher. The task is just until he's 18, we have to be concerned that he's not really expert in doing shechita. And therefore, there are many that are machmer, that the halacha is that only somebody who's 18 years old should do the shechita. However, b'di'eved, the halacha is that if a katan did shechita, and certainly we were there to see that the shechita was done right, we could eat from that shechita. However, if there was nobody supervising the shechita, and we need the katan to tell us that the shechita was done properly, we can't rely on this. And therefore, there are many opinions. The Shach in Sefkat Chafei quotes that the Beis Yosef says that a child that we know is an expert shechit could shecht when others are observing him. If he's not an expert, we should not really use him as a shechit. However, the Mashal, the Drish, and the Bach are of the opinion that we should always avoid using them for the shechita. We always need to be concerned that they didn't do the shechita properly, and they're not going to even recognize that the shechita is to be done properly. Moreover, since we're saying that we need to be concerned that we have to have somebody watching them doing the shechita. So this time, there will be somebody observing doing the shechita. But the concern is that somebody will see that they did the shechita and they won't know that the only reason we could trust them for the shechita was because somebody was observing them. And somebody may come to believe that they can always do the shechita, which is, of course, not true. And therefore, we should always, according to these opinions, we should always avoid having these people, certainly a katan, doing the shechita. There's one more subject, which is actually not spoken about in our Mishnah. And that is what happens if somebody becomes older. Should somebody be allowed to do shechita? The Siman Chadasha quotes Reb Eldad Hadoni, who says that once somebody is 80 years old, that the halacha is he should not do shechita. And then the Shaul Sechuvus Meir Nesivim says that in our days, where people are not as strong as they were in previous generations, we should try to be makpid that not let them shecht for when they're 70. The Bach says that if somebody sees that he's getting weaker, ready when he's 50 years old, she stops shechting. The Pischei Tshuva quotes the Shas of Tshuva's Tshuva Mahava that says that it really doesn't depend on age. And he says that he knows people who were 100 years old and they still were able to shecht properly. And that's why the Darkei Tshuva says that we always have to look at every individual. He quotes different individuals who were 85 years old and they were still shechting. The Shaul Sechuvus Ber Tzela Chochma also suggests that there should probably be a rule that the shechit should at 70 stop shechting. I did also see that there are paiskim that suggest that in all of these situations, one more factor should be taken into consideration. It's much more complicated to take somebody who already has a position and remove him from the position versus giving somebody a new position. So he says, once a person is already older, such an individual should not be asked to be a shoychet. But he should not be asked to be a shoychet, take a new job. But if he already has the position, and now the question is to remove him from the position, there we have to be a little more sensitive about taking off the person from a position. Begins the Mishnah. The Mishnah began with the words Hakol Shachtim. And says the Gemara, the word Hakol Shachtim implies that lechatchila, that if we're going to ask a person, we're going to ask, may you do this? The halach is lechatchila, he may do that. But ask the Gemara, but the next words of the Mishnah seem to take a different approach. And that is that the shchitas and kshera. And the words shchitas and kshera mean that b'dievid, the shchit is acceptable. How do we reconcile this? Says the Amalei Rav Acha Berei Derava L'Rav Ashi. And I saw that Tosfos explains that this was specifically addressed to Rav Ashi because Rav Ashi was the one who was Masada the Gemara. He was the one that put together Talmud Bavli. So when we have a question that's anonymous, we assume it was to Rav Ashi. So he says, the call, is it true that wherever the Mishnah used the word hakol, it means l'chatchilahu, that this may be done l'chatchilah? El me'ato, ask the Gemara, the Mishnah we're going to learn at the beginning of Masechta Temura, the Mishnah says, hakol mamirim, everybody could do a Temura, and Rashi explains, who does the hakol come to include? So Rashi says, it comes to include a yoirish, a sugi that we learned in Masechta Menachos, that if somebody inherited a carbon from his father, whatever halacha temura applied to his father applies to him. So hakol mamirim echra anoshim ve'anoshim, both men and women could do temura. Are you going to say, are you going to ask the Gemara, going to define that Mishnah, that it may be done even l'chatchila? Ask the Gemara, that can't be true. For Ksiv, doesn't the Torah explicitly say, lo yachlifenu v'lo yamed asar? The Torah HaKadosh says that we're not allowed to make a substitute. Lo yachlifenu v'lo yamed asar b'ra rabbetayv. So certainly, the word hakol cannot be in any way meaning that you're allowed to do this l'chatchila. And so says the Gemara the Gemara is saying that hakol, that the word hakol does not necessarily mean that it may be done l'chatchila. Says the Gemara, from there you can't bring a raya, says Rashi. Hosam k'diktani tamna. There the Gemara itself explains itself because the Gemara says, Lo Yisha Adam Rishoy Lohamed, the Mishnah says, not that you're allowed to do a Temura. What it means to say is, Shem Hamer, that if somebody did a Temura, it's considered a valid Temura, and Saifik Sabayim will get Malkus. So there, the Mishnah itself, in order that we shouldn't have any misunderstanding, is very clear in explaining that it doesn't mean L'chatchila. But that doesn't help for our Mishnah. So there the Mishnah says, Hakol Mamirim, and Rashi makes a very interesting point. Rashi seems to say that the way a Temura is done is when you have both animals, the animal that's Kaidish and the animal that you want substituted, standing next to each other. And the Rishash points out that even though when we think about Temura, that's what we normally think about Temura, that's not the halacha. The halacha is that even if the two animals are not standing side by side, it would be considered a valid Temura. The Mefarshim ask a question. Why would somebody get Malkus? The Gemara says, Shem Heimem Mumma V'Soifek Saboim. Tosfos asks, that why shouldn't he get two sets of Malkus? One for Temura, one for like Hatumura and when one for Yach Lifeno. So the simple teretz to that question is that Tumura and Tachlofa are not the exact same. You can't have both at the same time. Because Tumura is when you're being Mamer, an animal that you are Magdish. And Yachlif is when you're being Mamer, an animal that's not yours. And therefore, since it's not possible to have both at the same time, it's only going to be one set of Malkus. And others suggest that maybe Taisus himself, Tumura says, maybe you would be sensitive to two, you would be chayv two sets of Malkus. That's not the point of the Mishnah to tell us how many Malkus you have. But then, another answer that's given is very interesting. The Tarak Dosha says, that you're not allowed to do Tumura, lo yechifenev, lo yomer, soy, vim hama yomer, vayahu, usmarasa yechaydish. But there's a question, why would you get Malkus? Because the halacha is that a lav hanat, a lav hanitik lasei, any lav that's connected to a say, there is no Malkus. And this is a lav hanitik lasei. Because the Torah Kedosha says, lo yachlifeno, vim hama yomer, vayahu usmarasa yechaydish. So if that's the case, there should be no Malkus. So the Mashah says a chiddush. Then when do we say that for a lav hanitik lasei, there's no Malkus? We say that when there's only one lav. So that, since that one lav is connected to a say, it becomes a lav hanitik lasei, and the halacha is that we don't, that since it's a lav hanitik lasei, we say that there's no Malkus. But if there's two lavim, what happens, he suggests, is that the lav, what happens is that one lav indeed is no Malkus because it's a lav anitik lasei. The lav anitik lasei can only cover one set of Malkus. It cannot cover two sets of Malkus. And since it cannot cover two sets of Malkus, that's why it's the second lav is available to get Malkus for. So now both questions are answered. Lav hanitik lasei will only help us for one set of Malkus, number one. And number two, lav hanitik, and that's why the Gemara only says one, there's one set of Malkus, because one is a lav hanitik lasei. So says the Gemara, another Mishnah. The Mishnah says at the beginning of Masechta Erechin, Hakol Marichim. The Tarak Doisha says that every person, based on their age and on their gender, has a value, a preset value. And the Torah says, if somebody says, Erech Yalai, my Erech, Erech Plenio Lai, the Erech of somebody else, he has to give that preset amount. V'narochim, if somebody says, I'm going to give somebody else's Erech, we have to do that. He has to give it. Furthermore, the Mishnah says, Noidrim. Noidrim means that there's a difference between an Erech and a Domei. This erech means, as I said, the preset amount that the Torah established. Domim is what the person is worth if he's sold on the slave market. And says, if somebody says, I'm going to give that value, he has to give that value. Or if somebody says, I'm going to get the value of that person, nidorim, you have to give that value. So again, if it says that wording, it implies that this should be done, maybe done l'chatchila. Ask the Gemara Hochin Namid L'chatchila doesn't mean that this may be done L'chatchila V'aksiv. The pasuk says V'chisech the Lindor. If Lo Yibachachet, don't make a nether, because if you're going to make a nether, suggests the Gemara, you're going to have an Aveira. Furthermore, Ksiv, the pasuk says Tovesh Leitida Mishatida V'Leit Shalom. It's better not to make Nidorim at all than to make them and not pay. V'Tanya, and the Bryce explains, because it's a difficult pasuk. Of course, if you're not going to pay, you shouldn't do it. Then pasuk means to say, you shouldn't make the dorim. So, divrei meir, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, that you do pay. So how can we say that you could do this l'chatchila? Because even if you'll say, ask the Gemara, that Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that says as long as you fulfill your nether, you're okay, Rabbi Yehuda l'kameh ba'olam harei zu. As we've learned many times, there are two ways of making of obligating yourself. You say harezu, where you say, I'm going to give this. So there, when you say, I'm going to give this, if something happens, you're not responsible. Whereas when you say hare Allah, you take personal responsibility. And therefore, if something will happen, you'll still be responsible. And Omar hare Allah, loy, even Rabbi Yehuda will agree that you shouldn't do that. Because when you say harezu, your obligation is limited. If you say hare Allah, and you may not pay what you took upon yourself, that it's unlimited liability, which therefore you shouldn't do. But the bottom line here is that the Mishnah over there used the words of hakol, and it certainly doesn't mean that you're allowed to do it, that you're allowed to do this l'chatchila. So the Gemara's question is that you're saying that hakol in our Mishnah means l'chatchila. It's not true. Rashi says that when the Mishnah there says hakol marichim, what the Mishnah comes to say is that a cotton who's already 12 years old and a girl is 11 years old, if they take on an obligation, the halacha obligates them to keep that obligation. But there's an interesting discussion. What does that mean? That means that that obligation is considered a full-fledged obligation. But since they're ketanim, what will be the halacha if they didn't keep their obligation? Will they be chayiv or not? And the Michas Chinuch wants to say there are two separate halachas. There's a halacha that they are obligated, that their nether is considered a valid nether, but it's not considered a nether that will be that could be enforced. When we speak about the difference between Erechim and Domi, the number one difference is that Erechim, as we said, the individual doesn't make a difference. The only thing we look at when we speak about Erechim is what the Torah set as the value based on age and gender. And even if a person is a person who's really not well or other deficiencies, the halacha is we say you have to pay the Erech. Whereas when we speak about Nedarim, so and therefore the halacha would be if you'll have somebody who's less than a month old, and the Torah has not set a number for anybody who's under a month old. So the halacha will be somebody who's under a month old will have no erich. But when we speak about domim, then on one hand, if this person is over a month, is even a day, he has a value. And once even his day has a value, the halacha is that you have to pay that value. But if you have a person who the Gemara typically calls a mukashchin, who has very bad situation, won't have domim even if he's older. So ask the Gemara, v'kol hakol lav l'chatchilahu, doesn't mean that when we say hakol, it's not l'chatchila, elo, the Mishnayis teaches hakol chayovim b'sukkah, that the halacha is that everybody has to sit in a sukkah, and the Gemara says that what is considered hakol chayovim b'sukkah, it means a cotton shenet tzarech l'imay. Once you have a child that doesn't need his mother, he has to sit in the sukkah. The Brisker Rav has an interesting question. What does that mean? Does that mean that's the age we have to start chinuch? Or is that nothing to do with chinuch? It has to do because if he needs his mother, then we can't make him sit in the sukkah. What would be the nafkamina, says the Brisker Rav? What happens if you have a child that is not yet of age for chinuch? But on the other hand, he has his mother with him. He's very young, but his mother is there. According to the first explanation, he wouldn't be chayiv in the sukkah. According to the second explanation, since his mother is available, he will have to sit at the sukkah. Hakol chayov b'tzitzis. The halacha is that, again, as Rashi teaches us, that anybody who knows how to put on the tzitzis is chayiv in tzitzis. Hachinami, are you going to suggest l'chatchila? Says the Gemara, from those Mishnayis, we can't ask a question. Because those Mishnayis used a very strong word. Chayovim. And when the Mishnah used the word chayovim, says the Gemara Loi Keimna, that isn't a place for us to ask any questions. Says the Gemara, Elamata, the Mishnah says, Hakla Samchin. The halacha is that everybody makes smicha. We discussed this in Masechta Menachos. Then we bring a carbon. Everybody makes smicha. Echra noshim, hechra noshim. Both men and women. And as we said earlier in the shir, the hakel comes to include a yoyrish. Hachanami de lav l'chatchila. Does that mean that it's only b'dievet v'ksiv? Doesn't the pasuk explicitly say v'samach shiodai esroish oylev and nirtzalo l'chapa olav? Torah teaching us that we must do smicha. Says the Gemara in Ika Hakol Chatchila. Says Rav Ashi, the word Hakol is not a conclusive word. Sometimes it means L'Chatchila V'Ika, and sometimes it means B'Di'evit. But has the Gemara El Hakol D'Hachem Amayd L'Chatchila Ha? So ask the Gemara. We began with the words with Hakol Shachtim, which we're learning is coming to teach us that it's L'Chatchila Tikshalach. And now we have a question. There's a stira. That then it says, which means only b'di'evid. Ask the Gemara, now that you establish, Rav Ashi, that hakol can mean even b'di'evid, Dilma, the way to understand the Mishnah, is when the Mishnah began with the words hakol shachtim, it means the d'evid, and therefore, when the Mishnah continues, v'shchitosin k'sheira, v'yitikshalach, we wouldn't have a question. Says the Gemara, Amalei, so Rav Ashi says to Rav Acha, the word hakol shachtim is not what is troubling me. And Noshki Tosan Ksheir Kashalai. My problem is as follows. Midiktani, if we see that the Mishnah says the word Shkitosan Ksheira, what is the Mishnah coming to teach us? That it's own that the Shkita is only kosher b'di'evid. Miklal, doesn't that indicate the Hakol L'chatchilahu? That the Hakol must be in L'chatchilah. Because if we're going to define Hakol Shachdim also to mean b'di'evid. So then we have a question. Tati di'evid lamali. What does the Mishnah have to tell us twice that this is kosher b'di'evid? So therefore, because of this, the Gemara will now begin a series of different answers to this question. Amar Rabba ba'ula ha'riktani. Hakl shachtim. It means a filib tamei b'chulin. That somebody who's tamei is allowed to shecht an animal that's chulin. Ask the Gemara, tam b'chulin ma'ila memra. Why would we think that he can't do the shechita? Answers the Gemara, the chulin shenasa al taras hakodesh. There were individuals who even chulin they treated like kachin because they wanted to become accustomed to eat everything but tahara, for they were concerned that if they're not going to become accustomed to that, they may come to eat something betuma, which may not be eaten betuma. So they began acting that everything was eaten only b'tahara. And the Ksover, and the Tana of our Mishnah is of the opinion, chulin shenasa taras kodesh, if you're treating a chulin like kodesh, the machloikus rishonim, what does that mean? Chulin usually goes up to this degree of a sheni l'tuma. Truma goes up to shlishi l'tuma, and kodesh goes to revi l'tuma. And the question is, since this is not really kodesh, it's only chulin shenasa ataras kodesh, maybe it should be treated like truman only go to shlishi, but it's treated to some degree like kodesh. So what should this person do if he doesn't want the animal to become tamei? Ketsur oiser, maybe sakna ruch of a shaychiba. He brings a long knife to use for shchita. Kedai shleiga v'basa shun chas v'sham come to touch the meat if he's tamei. Umugdashim leishchet, but l'chatchila he shouldn't shecht, teaches us the Mishnah, shema yiga v'basa. It continues the Mishnah, it continues the Gemara in explaining the Mishnah. V'im shachet, if he did shecht, v'am abar lishloin negati, if he did shecht, this individual who's doing telelag, chulan tas kodesh, says, I shechted, but I was careful. V'im shachet, v'abar lishloin negati, says, I'm confident that I didn't touch, the loch is chitasik sheira. Chutz mechsher shoyt v'katan, the fil b'chulin grady, that even regular chulin, but the ever namiloi, we should never let a katan shecht. For we need to be concerned. Shema yifshu, they may pause in the middle of the shechita. Shema yitzusu, the shechita has to be done in a back and forth motion, and they may just pressure down. The shema yachlitu, they're going to shecht by putting the knife under the skin of the animal instead of top of the skin. Ask the Gemara, the Mishnah continued, V'chul sheshacht v'cheim roinu so shechitosu k'sheira. Ask the Gemara, what did the Mishnah mean with that din? Ahai, ilay macher shayt v'katan ala kai. We're speaking about them. So why would that's a v'kulin? So if that's who the Mishnah is speaking about, the proper wording should have been that if one of these people shechted, we're talking about the chalim b'chulin. So we already learned to amr l'chatchil loy shachet, and here it says that it's that they could do l'chatchila, and here it says it's only shishach to shchitas and shared that there is only good b'di'evit. Ela tamim mekdashim, the person whose tummy is shechting hegdish, and the Mishnah is telling us that if other people say it, that the aloch is, why do they have to have the other people see it? Even if other people didn't see it, it could be kosher, but barely sagi, as long as they could say, I know I didn't touch the animal. And says the Gemara, what the Mishnah is speaking about is in the case, the lesser come on, the lishalei. They're not here that we could ask them, did you touch the animal? So if we had other people that paid attention, so then we could be okay. If not, we can't eat the meat. Asking Mar Hatame Mekdosh Ma'ach Nafka, is this where we learn that a Tame, is this the Mishnah that teaches the Halacha that a Tame should not shech Hegdish? Mehasim Nafka, we learned it in Masech Tzvachim. The Mishnah Masech Tzvachim, the Flamen Aleph on the base taught us, Kol Psulim Sheshach Tishchitasa Shcheira, Shchitasa Kshera, the Zorim, the Noshim, the Avadim, the Tmeim, the Filu Kachi Kachim, so if the Mishnah is coming to teach us that if they tell us that they shechted and they did it properly, I don't need our Gemara. It's something that we already learned in Masech Tzvachim. Answer, Gemara Hachi Iker. The primary place to teach us this halacha is here in Masech Tchulin. Hasam, either the Tanish Absulim, there the Mishnah in Masech Tzvachim, since it's talking about other people who are disqualified, Tananami Tamim Begdoshim, that the Shechit is kosher. It really belongs there because it's Masech Tzvachim. And B'Kotchim Koy, Masech Tzvachim speaks about Kotchim. Hocha, in our Mishnah, either the Tani, Tamei V'chulin, since the Mishnah wanted to teach us the Halacha is what happens when a Tamei Shechted Chulin, as we explained by the person whose Tamei was Makbet to eat Chulin Atayas HaKadosh. So therefore, the Mishnah also mentioned Tani Nami, Tamei Mekdoshim, what will be the halacha of somebody whose tamei shechted something that's kodesh, even though it's a halacha that we already learned in Masechta Tzvachim.